This is a Collider.com audio interview.
So, Gordon Warren, was it difficult to make such a roguish character so charming and likable?
Oh, I thank you very much. It wasn't my goal to make him that likable, but I see I failed you again. Yeah, it was fun. I like that there's no real villains or heroes in this movie. I feel like it's a lot like life, you know. People have complexities, and they have their heroic moments and their villainous moments, and, you know, yeah.
How is the feeling that usually you used to play the other bunch of kids' characters, but now you play their...
I've never felt so old, I'll tell you that much. Yeah, daily. Oh my God, it was a routine of humility. Yeah, it was kind of cool, you know. I like that aspect too, you know. Obviously, this guy's having a pretty inappropriate relationship with this very, very young girl. And, you know, but the spirit on the set, and it really felt like, you know, where I was 8 or 9 years ago, you know. It's like, it was a pretty cool place to be each day.
Have you been in that place, though, where you... Like, did you ever have a part-time job like that, or know someone?
Yeah, I worked at a restaurant in Vancouver. I shouldn't even name it, but yeah. Oh, really? Well, it was a restaurant in Kitsilano, yeah. And I was a busboy there, but no one ever really ate there. And I think I was actually working for Peruvian drug lords. I thought I was. Yeah, it was this like abusive boss who was, you know, had a fuse that was absolutely minimal at best. And I would work there all day, and then at night I would work at a grocery store graveyard shift, you know, throwing fresh fruit at my coworkers.
And this was like at that time, did you know you wanted to act, or you were...
Yeah, I did. I mean, I was, you know, as much as I could in Vancouver. I mean, you know, you can only play so many, you know, ex Falcon Crest stars' sons in so many movies a week before you just, you know, you burn out. So yeah, I was kind of doing that to supplement my happiness. Believe it or not.
Working with Kristen.
Kristen's great. She's really great. I obviously the life has changed for her in a pretty drastic way since then. So it was kind of cool to see her talking about this thing called Twilight she might do.
Greg. I was going to say, Greg, this is a very personal film for him. He's been working on the script for a long time. Did he, before you took the part, did he say this was based on someone that he knew, or... Because a lot of the characters were based on real people, apparently.
I don't think so. You know, that would probably be a smart thing to ask him, but I don't know. He and I had about 4 different meetings before I jumped in there. Only because I didn't. At first, I didn't have a lot of trust because I didn't really know Greg that well, other than seeing Superbad, and I just thought, is this guy going to just be a, you know, your stereotypical douche, or is he going to be a guy that's actually kind of a, you know, he's got some depth to him or another side to him? So. And then, you know, when you hang out with Greg a little bit longer, you realize that all these specifics are in the script for a reason, because this is a guy that actually lived this life. And that's what I love about some, you know, Adventureland, is that he's really created a world, you know, where there are such specific instances happening and specific characters that you think, wow, there's no way that someone just made this up. This has actually happened. So, you know, it was a great experience. You know, Greg has poured his heart and soul into it in every way. So.
You remember those kind of dramas playing out at the unglamorous jobs that you had, those kind of interpersonal things like we see in this?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, you'd be hard-pressed to find more drama in Days of Our Lives than you do in a, you know, an average job each day. I mean, you know, coworkers is a jocular sort of kind of lifestyle that's going on. Everybody's kind of trying to get ahead or kind of, you know, create this job and mold it to their own needs and wants at the time. So, yeah, for sure. I mean, my jobs sucked, but at the same time, the thing that drew me back to going to work each day and really kind of got me through it were also my coworkers. You know, the same people that you have fights with and disagreements with are the same people that, you know, you rely on and you count on to stay sane in these crazy jobs. So.
You mentioned the specifics in the script. What specifics about the character sort of helped you the most?
You know, I for me it was just his, you know, his unabashed fantasy life that he was leading. You know, this idea that he's so much more than he actually is, and, you know, his inability to accept where he is in his life, and that's something that I feel really kind of, you know, it sort of was heartbreaking in a way. I found it touching in a strange way that this guy is, you know, so disappointed with how things turned out for himself that he's chosen to, you know, really be the try to be the biggest fish in the smallest pond he could possibly find. So, and that's what that represented for him. So that was, to me, that was the reason enough to jump in there and do it.
You didn't go to Sundance this year. Were you a little disappointed? Were you at Sundance?
No, I wasn't at Sundance, and no, I wasn't disappointed to get to be at Sundance. I was happy to be off wherever the hell I was. I was working, I think. I was shooting, yeah, so I couldn't go. But, you know, I see enough agents in suits. I don't need them to be in parkas, you know, all day.
But a lot of people say that people who go to Sundance are really into movies, like the audiences.
So really?
Well, not like I was there. There's a lot of people who really love movies.
Cool. All right. So, okay, I thought it was just people who liked gifting tents. I wasn't sure what you know. It's just like the most absurd thing. Let's give, like, here's the free shoes for the rich program. Like, come on into our tent, and you know, it's kind of crazy. But I don't. The for us, it's so different because it's really a function of just kind of event to event to event to event. I've been to Sundance 4 times. I've had 3 movies there, and I have never seen a movie other than my own when I was there. So, you know, it's inevitably pretty frustrating. You know, all these people are buzzing about some amazing film that they just saw, and you know, you'll the only chance you're going to get to see it is, you know, 6 months down the road when it's released. So it's sort of a bummer when you go there, but at the same time, you know, it's I'm glad it exists because it's given a showcase for so many amazing movies that otherwise wouldn't have been seen. So, yeah.
Are you still auditioning, or are people hiring you based on that, on the idea they want Ryan Reynolds for the film?
You know, I haven't auditioned in a long, long time, but you know, it's never outside the realm of possibility. I mean, if you want a film and they don't want you, sometimes you have to go fight for it. Sometimes that ends up just being a meeting, really, just sitting down with them and just saying, you know, here's my vision for it, and here's why I really love it. But for the most part, I think filmmakers gravitate towards people that are excited as they are about the film and as passionate about it. So, I mean, that goes a long way. You know, when you have an attitude that's sort of that meh kind of vibe when somebody sends you a script or something, you know, you don't want to be there and they don't want you there. So, sometimes going after it isn't so much a function of auditioning as it is just, you know, sitting down with the filmmaker. You know.
Did you? I'm going to ask you. You have a pretty big summer movie coming out.
Yeah.
So I wanted to ask you: did you go after that part, or did they come after you?
Which I have two summer movies coming.
Oh, I'm talking
about Wolverine or a proposal. Wolverine. That character is something that I've been sort of mentioned about for a long, long time, and the character in the comic book Deadpool even mentioned me playing him. So I think it was in some weird way I was a little bit destined, but I love that character. I love that franchise. I love that whole vibe. So I was happy to jump in there and do it.
Did you do a lot of? Were you forced to read comic books? Was it a part of?
No, I've read them before. I mean, I read the Deadpool series when I was in back in the 90s. But I'm not like a huge comic book reader per se. I mean, you know, I'll check out Archie when I'm in the grocery line, but that's about it. So.
Yeah. Well, then let me ask you. Obviously, you have scenes with Hugh. Mm-hmm. You know, and could you just talk a little bit about what it was like, you know, either fighting or behind the, like, you know.
Somebody's going to come in here and kick your ass in a minute from Adventureland if we keep talking about.
Yeah, there's something. This helps actually sell Adventureland.
I know, I'm just joking.
To be honest with you.
Talk about, you know, working with Hugh, or
with,
like,
you and the action scenes, because obviously this is a big action-y movie.
Yeah, they're intense, you know. I mean, movies like this you have a lot of big personalities in one room, and you think that's going to be combustible, but it was just the opposite. I mean, I look at it like an ensemble, really. I mean, there was a whole schwack of people in there with heavy, heavy storylines that they're trying to pack into this one movie. So, you know, it was a shockingly chummy set. You know, everybody was really, really kind of into what they were doing, and because of that, it's like this bonding experience, I think, to a certain degree. But their action sequences are amazing. You know, I'd never done anything on that scope before. I've done a couple action movies, but not like this. So it was pretty
he's
wild.
He's such a friendly guy, too. I can imagine he probably might give her
off. Oh my God, he's the nicest guy on earth. I mean, he makes murder look like ice cream. Incredible.
Is there any? I know there's been some talk about taking Deadpool off onto his own. Is there any new information on that? Like, are you?
No, I mean these things work pretty slowly as they go. You know, I've had a couple people approach me about meetings for a Deadpool movie, but I just think it's absurd to even think that way until this movie comes out. You know, And I don't even look at it like I play Deadpool in that movie. I really think I'm more or less playing Wade Wilson, mm-hmm. obviously, and then I'm playing the creature that will eventually become Deadpool, but in this movie it's sort of, you know, his newly formed version, so to speak.
How did it feel to be replaced as the sexiest man of the year by Hugh, and did that in any way add tension on the set?
Yes, it was brought up often. You know, I think Hugh, much like every other, you know, one of these sexiest people of the year, which is just seems like the most absurd crown of on earth, most people sort of take it with a grain of salt or a crate of Valium. It's pretty silly stuff, come to think of it. Hugh, yes, to answer your question, yes, he did. Yes, he made my life absolutely miserable.
Working together?
Hugh has always been the sexiest guy, I think. Let's be honest.
But I was going to say, like, did you guys give him shit when you were on set about it?
I'm not gay, but I'm thinking about it.
Well, you mentioned that you have another summer movie coming out. So are you looking forward to this? I mean, this is a big year for you then.
Yeah, it is. It's definitely a big year for me. I have Wolverine and then this movie, The Proposal, and that's a movie I love. I got to work with Sandra Bullock, who's been a friend of mine for almost a decade, and that was kind of interesting to spend that time with her. And yeah, it's pretty cool. I mean, I've you try not to, you know, I have no control over release dates. So I've been shooting for 15 months straight, and I should have known they'd all be stacked up like this. But you know, it's a pretty interesting position to be in.
Well, saying that. You have the three movies coming out. Obviously, you'll be in the limelight a bunch. Does that help you as an actor for your next project? Does it give you a mm-hmm. little bit more being in these high-profile films?
It does if they're all different. I think it doesn't if they're all the same. I mean, if you have three comedies that are being released in 3 months, well, first off, the studios would be insane to do that, but they've done it before with other actors. And secondly, just people burn out on that kind of brand, I think, a little bit. So I'm lucky. I have three different, completely different movies coming out. Each one is, you know, an entirely different genre unto itself. So
is that by choice in a way? I mean, did you want to avoid?
I try to do. I try to do different genres. I mean, you know, I would never. I don't like doing one back to back. You know, a certain specific, like two comedies in a row or something like that.
Is that for you or is that
for me? No, it's just for me. No. It's just for me. I get a little cooked. You know, doing the same thing over and over. Like a lot of people do. I mean, it's the ultimate dream is to be able to do, you know, multiple genres and still, you know, function properly in those. So I love it. I mean, I feel really fortunate that I'm able to go from, you know, genre to genre.
You don't make those choices based on being pigeonholed as doing one thing?
No, not usually, no. I mean, you know, if something pops, I've never had a movie that I was the star of that, you know, made $1 billion at the box office. So I don't, maybe things change for people when that happens. You know, maybe suddenly you're sort of pushed in that direction a lot more, but I'm, in a way, I've been lucky because of that. I can do a bunch of different stuff.
Having worked with Sandra now, after knowing her for so long, did you learn anything new about her working on this particular movie? Like, discover anything that you were like, oh, wow.
You know, I was, in as much as I, you know, she has an ability to compress an enormous amount of emotion and information in a single look. And I think that's the magic of her. You know, I used to think it was because she's the girl next door, or she's America's sweetheart, or any of that crap. But no, it's the fact that she's got some sort of weird, bizarre, supernatural gift that I'm deeply envious of and would love to have someday. So, no, she's, you know, and you certainly, you're spending so much time with somebody. I mean, we've been friends for a long time, but we haven't been, you know, up in each other's grill for 15 hours a day for 3 months. So, thankfully, that all worked out well, and, you know, she didn't sick her three-legged dogs on me.
What are the different considerations that go into when you're going to do an ensemble supporting role, like in Adventureland, versus when you're going to do the leading man?
I don't know. I don't usually think of it like that. You know, I've always loved character work, and you know, when I was younger, I considered myself a character actor, but I didn't, you know, get those parts a lot of the time. So when they come along in a movie like this, it's, you know, I try to jump at them usually if it's a good film. That's just it, though. I mean, if it's a good movie, I don't really care if I'm a big role or a small role. It's, you know.
Congratulations also on recently marrying one of the sexiest women alive. How has being married changed your life?
You know, I'm probably not going to get into that right here. But thank you for asking. I'm gonna borrow the Americanism and plead the fifth on that one.
You were just a kid in the '80s. This movie set in the '80s. Did you have any special like favorite movies or music from the 80s that you kind of carried through?
Yeah, for me, I loved Say Anything. That was a huge movie for me when I was a kid. I think for a lot of guys my age, yeah. It was. You know, you always have that moment where you picture yourself with a ghetto blaster over your head and you're blasting it out for that one you love, you know. But in reality, you'd be arrested doing that. So, but I love that movie. I was a huge fan of Being There, but I don't know if that was an 80s movie or not.
Right on the couch.
Right there. It's 81, I think, or something. Yeah. But yeah, you know, there's that whole, it's such an indelible decade, you know. I mean, the 90s is this sort of vaguely kind of forgettable decade style wise. It's more of a hodgepodge of the previous three decades. So the 80s really had this je ne sais quoi unto itself that, you know, is always fun to explore.
I wanted to know, you with the action scenes, doing a big movie like The Wolverine where you have mm-hmm. these tremendous action scenes, do they take days and days to film? I mean, could you talk about because you've never, as you mentioned, you've never yeah. really done anything like that, and I'm just curious what goes on to prepare you to do that kind of stuff.
Well, I have a sword sequence in the movie that is probably less than a minute long in the film, but that takes months and months and months to prepare for. You kind of, you know, you think, when you think about it like that, it's vaguely depressing. But when you actually do it, you know, it's worth it. I mean, you see on the screen that's me, and that's not a stunt person, and I'm doing the thing. So, I mean, those take a long time. But yeah, they're slow. I mean, we had action sequences that took weeks. We had one fight sequence that took weeks.
Shoot. I was going to say, obviously, the movie's called Wolverine, but are you in it for the majority? I mean, I don't really know anything about this.
No, I initially started out as just a cameo, and they added a little bit more, but for the most part, it's definitely Hugh's movie. But it's also, it has an ensemble feel, though. There's a lot of guys in it. I mean, there's a lot of characters, and they've added a bunch of mutants that the fanboys really love, so... you know, but I initially jumped in there because I had to go shoot Proposal and this other movie called Paperman while they were shooting Wolverine. So I was committed to those already when they approached me for the role. So I just said, look, if you can make it work, make it work. And then we ended up going to do additional photography at the end of Wolverine because I still hadn't shot the lion's share of what I was supposed to shoot. So a lot of people thought they were adding scenes because they added more Deadpool or they added, you know, but it was just a function of me finishing the movie that I wasn't able to complete yet. So,
do you have your next project lined up yet?
No, not yet. No.
Was it fun being on an amusement park, you know, to do these scenes, or was it annoying?
It's annoying because there's all these sound issues, and there's a lot of background artists, and they're at an amusement park, but they're being told to be quiet and stay in one section. So I think they naturally got a little antsy, and you know, some takes get ruined because people are yelling and screaming and talking and all sorts of stuff. But
that's it.
That's it.
Cool.
All right, guys. Bye. Take care. Have a good day, guys.
Yeah.